It keeps getting easier to manufacture a counterfeit computer chip. Experts say federal information systems increasingly are at risk because of flaws in their supply chains. It's not just a question of fake parts. Genuine ones that have been tampered with or are just poorly made can also cause a lot of damage. The National Institute of Standards and Technology is revising guidelines for agencies to help them secure their supply chains. John Boyens is an IT specialist in the Security Outreach and Integration Group at NIST, and he joins us now. John, great to have you with us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So, first of all, tell us a little bit about the landscape in which you are revising these guidelines. What do you see as the biggest need among federal agencies?
So, our research in this area really goes back to, you know, the beginning of 2008, and these are supply chain risk management practices really focused on the processes and procedures for departments and agencies for their supply chain. The practices vary. Our approach has been to really build on top of existing processes that federal departments and agencies are currently using. And we do that by building in supply chain risk management practices into the existing risk management practices that are already being used. We also use the what we have taken are security controls, and we've taken them out of our large security catalog, which is the special publication 853. We've taken the supply chain risk management related security controls out of there and offered supply chain risk management implementation guidance for those controls. So in many aspects, agencies, they shouldn't take them by surprise because they're already using many of these practices. We're just offering more specific supply chain guidance to many of the things that they are already doing.
Now, the Defense Department has perhaps been the most high-profile agency in terms of really trying to secure its supply chain. And, of course, Congress has helped it along with that, with mandates and in laws and the like. But how essential is this to other agencies outside of those that deal with national security?
Well, I think this problem is very pervasive to anybody who purchases electronic parts and components for their information system, whether they're in DOD or outside of DOD. Our specific guidance is for non-national security systems, and both DOD and others use those type of systems. And our guidance is specifically focused on high impact systems, as defined by FIPS 199.
So what is that?
So FIPS 199 is really the categorization of the different information systems, and the high-impact systems are those most critical systems that support the missions of the department and agency.
And so could those also be ones that, say, hold employees' personal data or some other sort of personally identifiable data, critical data?
Yes, we actually go through the entire process of doing a threat and risk analysis to determine what types of data, what types of equipment are supporting those critical functions.
So with respect to most agencies, can you say that this is a one-size-fits-all type of thing and that, you know, outside of those that work with national security, they can take certain steps and it should apply to all agencies?
So I think in one sense, it's a one-size-fits-all document. However, the document is framed in such a way that it allows for extreme flexibility. So when doing that risk assessment, it really takes into consideration the different threats that agency may have, the different missions and different operating environments. And through that decision-making process, that agency would come up with different risk mitigation processes and practices. And we provide a way of transitioning that risk assessment into real-world mitigation activities.
And for whom are you writing this guidance? Are these technical experts that you're writing for, or are they also people who are in charge of purchasing things for, such as computer parts for agencies?
Well, I think, you know, similar to the risk management approach that we've been taking over the last several years, supply chain risk management goes throughout the entire organization. It's at the very high end at the organization policy level. It goes down through the programmatic level, and it goes at the operational level. So it actually goes through and is targeted towards many different users. We very much advocate a team-based approach. So we want all of the different aspects and functions within an organization to come together for this. One particular example is many of these risk-based acquisitions decisions has historically been made by the contracting officer. What we're advocating is that the owner of the system, which is also the owner of the risk, be involved in some of those acquisition and purchasing decisions.
And so that entails a lot more involvement the whole way through. Is that how you envision it?
It does, and it involves a lot of training as well. A lot of the acquisition staff and workforce are not cybersecurity experts, and they're not meant to be. So we need some basic training, but then we also need to involve that team-based approach.
Is there I know this is asking to simplify a very big document, but is there sort of like a do 1, 2, 3 you can give me right now, just so we get a more concrete sense of what we're talking about?
It's I think more of a typical risk management approach. So the first thing that I think departments and agencies need to do is to do a criticality analysis and figure out what is supporting, what information systems are supporting those critical mission functions. And then moving on down to there, what are those critical information systems? And then through the critical information system, what are those parts that are most critical? Because those are the ones that, if there are counterfeits found, can do the most devastating damage to the actual mission of the agency.
We're speaking with John Boyens. He's an IT specialist in the Security Outreach and Integration Group at NIST. And we're talking about new guidelines for securing federal IT supply chains. Now, it seems like on the surface, this is almost an impossible task when you think about the fact that agencies get their parts from a supplier who might get their parts that go into those parts, components of those parts, from other suppliers, and there is indeed a chain. So how deep can agencies dig into it? How deeply do you recommend that they dig into this?
Well, again, I think it depends. So everything is based off risk. So it often depends on where that risk lays. And what we promote first and foremost is that agencies get their own house in order in terms of risk management, particularly even in the area of supply chain risk management, before even really trying to deal with more advanced practices such as provenance and track and trace, which is really following that product throughout the entire supply chain and understanding who and what is touching that product. So we're really focused on the internal risk management practices of departments and agencies. We understand that it is very difficult to get beyond that tier one supplier.
And so in a sense, are you saying it doesn't matter if a part is counterfeit or just shoddy or, you know, perhaps has been tampered with? If it's a bad part, then throw it out or don't use it, as opposed to trying to dig deep into what exactly went on in the supply chain?
Actually, no, I would say that, we certainly have practices for what to do if you find a counterfeit or a suspect counterfeit or a shoddy product. There's different processes and procedures of what to do so that other departments and agencies don't purchase the same part.
Right. And so how do you envision agencies using this now? For example, I know that this is just a second public draft. Is there going to be a third one, or do you plan to release a final anytime soon?
I think we need to determine what type of comments we get back with this draft. We feel fairly comfortable that we were responsive to the comments on the initial public draft. But we'll have to wait and see. And what we'll do is after we get those comments back, we're going to sit down and go through every single comment and see how well we can actually address those comments. If we feel comfortable that we adequately addressed those comments, then we would go under through our process of finalizing that document. If we still have questions, and it's very important that we get this right. We understand it's a very important and critical area, so we want to get it right. If we feel that we still have questions, we would put it out for another public comment period. It may be a shorter public comment period, but we would still put it out.
And when does this current public comment period end?
July 18th.
Okay. John Boyens is an IT specialist for the Security Outreach and Integration Group at NIST. John, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.